Good morning. You guys look like you're doing fine. It's great to see you. My name is Chris. I'm the lead pastor here and love sharing with you guys each week and watching you interact. And so that song we just sang, I am a child of God. Is that really true? Like, do you know that's true for you? We're in a series called Heaven. And we're actually going to jump into that question today as we move forward. We're going to start with our memory verse. I practiced this all week, and I do have it memorized. But for some reason, when I get in front of a bunch of people, it's a little iffy. And so you're going to see me reading it. That's because I freak out. All right, let's say this together. And this is the testimony. God has given us eternal life. And this life is in his Son. Whoever has the life has whoever has the Son has life. Whoever does not have the Son of God does not have life. So this passage doesn't ask or doesn't say you are the Son of God. It says, do you have the Son of God? Is he your possession? Is that who you have? And so we're going to work through that today. I'm actually going to set this aside, guys, and grab that part of it later. So let's just back up real quick. The series we've been working through in heaven, and the whole goal of this series is that as a church, you know whether or not you're going to heaven. My kids were growing up, and after they had become believers, they would go through a series of different things in life. Any of you who've ever had teenagers, you just know these phone calls are all about. They call, and something has happened. A breakup has happened. They're lost. Something has happened, and they are freaking out. The world is going to end. For some of you moms, it's in reverse. You're calling your teenagers doing that. But this time that happens, my favorite question to ask them is, okay, all right, let's say it goes absolutely horrible. It goes, everything you're worried about happens, and you die. What's going to happen then? Let's say the worst thing happens, and you die. What's going to happen then?
Go to heaven.
Yeah. It changes everything. If you live your lives trying to know God and trying to answer whether or not I'm a child of God and trying to deal with your marriage and the parenting and your job and all the different issues you have in your life, and you don't know where this whole thing ends up, it changes everything. If you know where it ends up, it impacts the power you have to handle every one of those things. And so we want to know that. Number two, I want you to be able to teach this to other people. I want you to be able to interact with the people at work. When you talk about this issue, that you don't just say, well, I believe. What you believe doesn't change the world for the other person. They need to know the real stuff. They need to know what the Bible says. And so as we work through this, that's the two goals that we have. In this. And last, we started out with what is heaven, and painted this incredible, beautiful picture of the circumstances of heaven, that there's no sin, that there's no pain, that there's no crying. It's just an amazing place, streets of gold. The beauty is going to be incredible. The adventure is going to be amazing. You're like, clearly that's where you would want to go. But what makes heaven special to me is I will no longer be at war inside of myself. I will no longer want to do good than do the opposite. I will be healthy. And I will not fight sin anymore. I can't imagine the kind of peace and joy that is. I cannot wait for that to be true. So then we jumped into, okay, what's Jesus offering? And last week, we talked about what Jesus is offering you. And part of that was, we said, how do we know, how do we hear from God? How do we know this is God's talking? There's two ways. One is Jesus. Jesus is God himself, and he was sent so that you could know God. And so when you find Jesus saying something, or Jesus says something is true, or there's something true of his character, you're like, okay, that's true. So if Jesus makes a promise to you, God is talking to you. Whether you feel like it or not, he is talking to you and the Bible. The Bible is God's word to you. So although you may have experiences where you felt like you interacted with God, the ones you absolutely 100% can trust are the when the Bible says something is true. That's where we're operating from. And from those two things, we learn this is what Jesus is offering. Number one, he's offering to pay your debt. Whenever someone sins, whenever someone does wrong, they owe a debt. They have to pay for that debt. You understand that perfectly. You watch movies, and the bad guy's doing bad, and you're like, they got to get him. And if the movie ends, and the bad guy gets away with it, you tell all your friends, terrible movie. It's a terrible movie. Don't watch that movie. Because you understand justice, and we owe a debt for the way we've lived our lives and who we are. He promises to pay the debt. Number two, to forgive you of your sins against God. Now, this is key for a number of you because a number of you think that you sin against people, but not necessarily against God. That is not true. God is your creator. You answer to him for everything that you do, say, think, feel. And when you hurt others, your sin, first and foremost, is against God. How does this work? It works a little bit like this. Go to work tomorrow, walk up to a coworker and slug him. Find out who fires you. It's not going to be your coworker. It's your boss. Because when you slug your coworker, you sinned against your boss. That's how this works. Jesus is offering to forgive you of your sin. So you can be in his presence and not feel guilt because it's been forgiven. He is offering to give you eternal life with him in heaven. He is offering for you to know, that's what our memory verse says, he's offering for you to know that you're going to heaven. So that was his part. What about your part? If you were to tell someone, or someone was to ask you, what do I need to do to go to heaven? All right, I understand that God is offering me this. By the way, what's the greatest offer you've ever been made? What's the greatest offer that you've ever been made? The men are going, hey, babe, the greatest offer you ever got was me asking you to marry you. Guys, don't look at your eyes, your wife's face when I say that. What's the greatest offer you've ever got? You ever read those stories? Maybe you're a little bit jealous of this. Somebody lives next to some elderly lady, and they're kind of kind to them, and they're going through life, and it's all good. And then she gets sick, and then she says to the neighbor, would it be okay if I gave you my house when I died? Yeah, that'd be great. And then she passes away, right? And they get a house. And this is important. When someone makes you a great offer, you have to act or respond to it. When someone makes you a great offer, you cannot ignore it. You can't define it in your own terms. Now, Jesus is making you the greatest offer in the universe and for all time. This is the most important offer you've ever been given. So what do you do with it? What are you doing with it? Maybe some of you believe, not from the Bible, but maybe your parents taught you this, or you just feel this is true, or you just want it to be true. Everybody goes to heaven. And maybe you believe that. Maybe you feel that. And so you're not going to do anything about the offer. You wouldn't need to. If everybody goes to heaven, you know what you're going to do with this offer? You're going to ignore it. Maybe you've been working hard. And maybe when you look around this room, you're like, you know what? I think I'm the best person here. I mean, I'm a really good person. And so I expect that when I stand before God, I'm going to pull out my list of things that I've done and who I am and what I tried to do and the way that I loved people and the way that I cared people and the way that I handled life. And I'm going to go, God, look, I'm on your side. If that's true, you're going to ignore this offer. You're going to ignore it. We're starting with the presupposition or the understanding from what we learned the last couple weeks. You're in trouble. People don't naturally go to heaven. They naturally go to hell. What? Why? Well, what we learned in the last few weeks is that people are naturally sinners. They're rebellious against God. They don't have to work hard at all to lie. No one has to teach them to lie. But to tell the truth is exhausting. It's so hard because that's the natural flow of it. And that you need this offer. That you need what God is offering. So how do you respond to it? What do you do? We're going to walk through three things. These are not complicated. We always make life complicated. You may have noticed I lost a few pounds over the last little bit. I will not. Don't ever get excited when somebody loses weight. Like wait a year, and then so we make weight loss so complicated. They write books and books and books and books. There are companies. There's multi-billion-dollar companies. To try to figure out how to help you to lose weight because it's, and they have secrets. People write secrets about it. There's these groups that have secrets. Did you know that to lose weight, you have to eat less food? That's it. Now, some of you might have issues that do make it complicated. No, I don't. If I eat less food, I lose weight. As we work through this, if you think, oh, this is really complicated, I don't get it, it means I'm not communicating well. That's what it means. It's not that it's complicated, or it means that you don't really like what's being said, and so you're complicating it. You're adding things to it that aren't part of it. So what is he asking of you? Let's jump in. Here we go. Number one, to come into the light. To come into the light. What's that mean, come into the light? All right. Siri, please turn on the flashlight. I've become an expert at this. I do this all the time now. Why? Because I can't see things as they really are. When I'm looking at something, it's in the dark. I can't see it for what it is. I need the light to shine on it so that I see it for what it really is. It's this simple. To walk into the light, flashlight off.
It's off.
See, I told you, I'm really good at it. To walk into the light is to move from where I am posing, hiding, shielding, justifying, excusing, manipulating, controlling who I am and what I've done. And I move into the light where what Jesus says is true, it's shown to be what it is. It's true. Into his light. What he says is true, I'm going to let that determine whether or not I'm true. What he says is good, that's going to determine whether or not I'm good. What he says is right, that's going to determine it. I'm not hiding anything. It's super simple. When you were 3 years old and you wrote on the wall with marker and then went, uh-oh, I can't get it off. And you instantly blamed your sister. That's what? It's the dark. And your mom came in and said, "Who did that?" And you went through one darkness after another darkness after another darkness, even to the point that your mom entirely made it clear it had to be you. Your sister is over at your aunt's house. It had to be you, clearly you. Did you come into the light? No, not necessarily. You stayed there, right? To come into the light is to come before Jesus and show who you really are. How do you do that? One, be honest about your sin. Be honest about it. This is what I did. This is who I am. I did this. Number two, own your slavery, your wickedness, and your powerlessness. Own it means there are no excuses. You are not wicked and powerless and a slave to sin because your parents were bad people. You are not a slave to sin because you married the wrong person. You are not a slave to sin because you have a disease. No, own it. It's who you are. It's what you've done. That's what it means to walk into the light. You know how scary that is, right? You know how when you go to confess to somebody, you always couch it in these words that don't make it as bad as it really was? That's because you don't own it. You don't own it. When you own it, you're like, this is what I did. I deserve every bit of consequences that's going to come my way. I deserve the punishment. I did it. It was me. And the third thing is admit that you are the problem. And you need Jesus to save you from it. At this point, you are emotionally and spiritually naked. What's that mean? There's nothing to protect you from the fact you're powerless. You need help. You need help. If you've ever almost drowned, there's these points before you realize that you're drowning, that you're like, I can do this, and I can do this, and maybe I can do this, and maybe I can do that, and then you're like, I'm going to drown. At that point, you start screaming for help. Tell me what to do, how to do it, I'm in trouble. To admit you are the problem, you need Jesus to save you from who you are and what you've done. So, first thing, it's coming to the light. Second thing, trust Jesus. Trust is the same word as believe, and it's the same word. Turn to the person next to you and try to define for them what trust is without using the word believe. There's one other one. You'll probably use it in the definition. Go. Try to define what trust or belief is. Go. Man, you guys did a great job. Like, you actually did it. You weren't talking about the game today, right? Good. All right, here we go. I know what the third word was. Trust, believe, and faith. They're actually all the same word. So when you try to define it, you go, well, trust means that you really believe. What does believe mean? That you have faith. What does faith mean? That you have trust. They're actually the same word. This is what faith is. This is how faith works. This is how you do it. Before I begin with this is important for all of you, especially you guys that are teenagers, early 20-year-olds. You may have heard this phrase that I became a man of faith. I didn't used to be a man of faith. Now I'm a man of faith. That's totally false. That's not true. Everyone is a man of faith. Or a woman of faith. The question is, what is your faith in? Faith starts with you having a set of facts and your interpretation of the facts. These facts may be incorrect, they may be perfectly correct. But from these facts, they make you a promise, or they tell you this is the way you should live, or this is the way that the life lives. If you're in high school and you hate algebra, you have a set of facts, and your set of facts tell you algebra is the stupidest thing in the world. I'll never use it in my life, and I shouldn't have to take it. For those of you who love algebra, I'm sorry. I know that was offensive. In other words, in all areas of life, you have these things. I live my life this way because of this set of facts. Next, you have to have God's word or God's promise. Everything we've been talking about. We're talking about Jesus's offer to you. He makes an offer to you. Then you make a choice. You either choose to believe yourself, your own set of or definition of the facts, or you believe God's word. When you make that choice to trust Jesus, you've put your faith in Jesus. For some of you, for many of you, you walked in the room today believing about Jesus. You know about Jesus. You've heard about Jesus. You believe he exists. You believe he died on the cross. You believe that he loves people. But you don't trust him to get you to heaven. You trust it's all going to work out. You trust. You don't have to worry about that today. You can worry about that later. You're a man of faith. You're a teenager of faith. You have very, very strong faith. Do you know why teenagers do really stupid things? I did really stupid things because I had huge faith. I jumped off a 40-foot cliff. You know why? I believed I couldn't be hurt. And I wanted to impress her. Because you're a person of faith. Here it is, trust Jesus with your heart, your spirit, your eternity, with who you are and where you're going to end up. Who do you trust? Have you ever placed your trust, moved your trust from you or that set of facts to Christ? How do you do that? Three simple things. One, ask him to forgive you of what you have done and who you are. Ask him to forgive you. This is a conversation between you and Christ where you personally come into the light and then you ask him to forgive you. B, put your eternity into his hands. Give him the title of your life. This is a title. It's a deed. This deed has two very, very important signatures on it. One, it has the signature of the person who is selling the property, and it has the signature of the person who's buying the property. The second signature says, this property is now his. To put your eternity into his hands is to say to Jesus, here's my life. It's broken. It's worthless. And it's yours. I am going to trust you to take me to heaven. You now have the title of my life. It's not my life anymore. It's your life. It's in your hands. Three, accept as your Lord and Savior by faith. Accept Jesus as your Lord and Savior by faith. What's the difference between the accept and the trust? It's just the action. You see, when you trust Christ and you give him the title, he promises you you're going to heaven and you are going to heaven. But you don't know you're going to heaven until you accept. Experience accepting him. Knowing he is now yours and you're him, you're his. Accept Jesus as Lord and Savior by faith. Accept forgiveness from him. Have you ever confessed to something that was really bad and you expected the other person to maybe say they forgave you, but they wouldn't really forgive you? And so you're like, I did this, and you're waiting to come. It doesn't come. They go, I forgive you. And then they move to you and they begin to hug you. And you go, Because you don't accept their forgiveness. To accept their forgiveness is when Jesus reaches out to hug you, you go, thank you. Thank you for that forgiveness. Accept eternal life and heaven from him. Same thing. I accept it. I accept this offer, Jesus, by faith. I don't trust me anymore. I trust you. Accept his righteousness as your own from him. Now, the next piece that we're going to talk about I want to give a little context to it. So you're fairly familiar with this, and I talk about this a lot. It's really important who Skyline is. It makes Skyline who we are. Skyline is here to reach people who don't go to church. Skyline is here to reach those of you who are sitting in church right now going, I don't think I buy into this. I'm not sure I buy into this. We want to be the place that you come and you check out Jesus, and we will give you however much time you need for you to come in and go, I don't believe this. That gets us excited. You come to me and go, I don't believe this. I'd like to talk about it. I get pumped up because I believe it's only a matter of time. We're just going to keep loving you and loving you and showing you the truth and loving you and loving you. Sooner or later, it's going to take off. Now, in that relationship, we tend to communicate, you can take as small a step as you want at whatever timetable you want to take it. You could come to our church for a year, never get involved in ministry. You can come to our church for a year hungover. I've never been hungover, so I don't actually know you're hungover, but afterwards people tell me, you know, he was hungover. So you can come to our church for a year, hungover from whatever horrible things you did the night before. We're going to love on you like crazy because you can move at whatever pace you want to move. I fear you may think that means that you come to Jesus on your terms because you come to Skyline on your terms and we accept you there. You do not accept this offer on your terms. You accept this offer on you either go big or you go home. This offer is the greatest, biggest offer you will ever be made in your life, and you do not play with this offer. You either go big in taking this offer, don't take it. Don't fool yourself into thinking I can drizzle my way into this relationship with Jesus. I can kind of manipulate. I can kind of just, you know, I can take whatever I want to take and give whatever I want to take. No, this is go big, go home. Whoever believes in the Son of God accepts this testimony. Whoever does not believe God has made him out to be a liar. What? You either believe this testimony or you call God a liar. What? That's go big or go home. That is God drawing a line right down here and going, I'm offering you. I'm offering you to bring you to my side. But I want you to understand something. On this side, you are calling me a liar. You are either on one side or the other. It is not possible to be on both sides. It's very much possible to be on this side, checking out what God has to say. But don't think because you got involved in Skyline or you got involved in ministry or you did some of the things that Skyline does that you've begun to move to the other side. This is go big or go home. Another passage is, and this is the testimony God has given us. I'm sorry, we're going to finish that one. This is the testimony God has given us. Eternal life. And this life is in his Son. You see, you either accept this offer or you don't. Because it's a person. This is a person. How many relationships do you have where you go to the person, I like your arms and your hands don't like the rest of you. Right? This is a person. Jesus, I think the fact that you're loving and you're kind and you did miracles is awesome. Calling sin, sin, not into that. Jesus, I just think you're amazing. You're incredible. Telling me who I can have sex with and not have sex with, I don't want that part of it. No, 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 no. You go big or you go home. Whoever has the Son has life. Whoever does not have the Son of God does not have life. You are either on this side or you're on this side. There's another passage. It talks about the kingdom of God, and I like the way it says it. Sell everything you have and buy the field. Sell everything. This is what the passage says. The kingdom of heaven is like a treasure hidden in the field, which a man found and hid again. And from joy over it, he goes and sells all that he has, and he buys that field. Now, here's the question. Jesus is offering you life. This is joy. It is strength. It is love. It is righteousness. It's everything, everything that life truly is. The idea is this guy finds this treasure and he says, this is it. This is life. This is what it's all about. Everything I have is worth this. So he hides it. Bit of a sneaky guy. Hides it. Goes and makes a deal with the guy. Buys this land so he can get that treasure. Here's the question for you. What do you think life is? What do you think life is? I remember being in high school. A big part of me thought life was girls. Unfortunately, they didn't think that about me, but a big part of me thought that life was girls. My sophomore year, I started as linebacker and offensive guard against Constantine. And I discovered that linebacker was a natural position for me. Nothing that I do in sports is natural. I had to learn everything except for linebacker. It's natural to me. I see the whole field. I led in tackles. I knocked down three passes. I'll never forget this. After the game was over, we were at a restaurant. And me and my buddies walked in, and there was three girls that we all liked, thought were great. And they're like, hey, see them. I said, guys, it's not about girls, man. It's about football. Life is about football. Now, in your life, what's life about? What is life about? What are you after? You trying to create a company? If I succeed with this company, that's life. Is it about marriage? If I just could get married, if I get married, that's life. Children, if I could just have children, that's life. Getting rid of my children, if I could just get rid of my children, that's life. About 10% of you are going, what's so funny about that? I get it. On a day-to-day basis, guys, you have things that you are pursuing, that you are sure that if you get to that place, if you can accumulate, if you can experience, if you can be, you will have a discovered life. This is what God says. Sell it. Sell it. And trust me. He's making an offer. And the world is making you an offer. And their offer is, take Jesus and this. The world's offer is not throw Jesus away. That's not it. It's let's do both. Let's do the Jesus thing and this. Better yet, I think it's cool that you believe in Jesus. Jesus will help you build your business. Jesus will help you get married and have a good marriage. Jesus will help you become a better parent, which are all true. That's absolutely true. Guess what? When you get done, you got fooled. Because Jesus didn't come to be a part of your life. He came to save you from that lie. He came to give you life and be life. Go big or go home. Now, for some of you, before we pray, you gave God the title of your life. And as I walk through all of this today, you said, that tracks. Yep, that's what I did. That track. Yep. So then why are you so miserable? Why do you not have joy? Why do you not have peace? Why do you not have the power that he promised? Why are you so much still in slavery to sin? It's because after you gave him the title and you experienced that joy, something came along and you said, I want the title back. Jesus, I know you promised me life. I know you promised me, and I did give you the title and you did give me life. But I need that too. I think that thing right there will give me life too. Can I have the title back? And you are in a tug of war with Christ. Just so you know, he never gives the title back. Ever. It's his life. As we pray this prayer, I'm gonna pray and invite those of you to trust Christ for the first time in your life. To go big. Others of you, your prayer needs to be, God, I'm sorry. You can have title. All of it. All the time. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, I'm going to pray this prayer as if it's the first time I ever prayed it. But first, I ask that you personally make it clear to the folks in this room who you are offering this to today, that you're talking to them. I'm not talking to them. You are talking to them. You're making them this offer. And folks, I'm going to pray as if I'm accepting the offer for the first time. Lord Jesus, first I want to do is I want to come into the light. God, I am broken. I am a slave to sin. You know me. You know how I have great intentions, but I can't carry it out. You know me. You know the way I treat other people and the way I think of myself first and how I justify, and you know me. I'm just as ugly as you said I am. Lord, but you also said that you're offering me forgiveness and an eternal life. So, Lord, I trust you to forgive me, and I ask you to forgive me because I trust you, because you said you'd forgive me, and I'm asking. You said you'd give me eternal life, and I'm asking.
And Lord, I accept it. I am now forgiven. I thank you. I can look you right in the eye without guilt or fear because I'm forgiven. I accept this new life, this eternal life. I know that I will, if I died right now, I know I'd go to heaven because I've given you my title. You own me. I'm your responsibility. Wow. Wow. I'm your responsibility. And lastly, Lord, I accept your goodness. I don't know how this works. I just want to follow you. I know I don't have to try to be good anymore. But you've promised me you'd make me new, and I accept it. I accept you. Lord Jesus, I now have you, and you have me. In your name we pray. Amen. We're about to sing a song called Give Me Faith. And to give you faith is for Christ to say, okay, yes, you can trust me. Yes, I am trustworthy. And for those of you who just went big, I want you to know, and I want you to sing this song knowing this is true. You just went big, which means if you died right now, you'd go home, but your home is heaven.